This is Weekly Dose of Wellness, brought to you by Memorial Care Health System. Here's Deborah Howell.
Hello and welcome to the show. You're listening to Weekly Dose of Wellness. It's brought to you by Memorial Care Health System. I'm Deborah Howell, and today's guest is Dr. Wendy Linderholm, a licensed clinical health psychologist who is committed to working in the medical community with all its participants, from the patients to the families to staff and physicians. Dr. Linderholm is currently the Director of Behavioral Health at Memorial Care Medical Group. Welcome, Dr. Linderholm.
Thank you.
Today's show is about depression, the signs, the symptoms, diagnosis, and treatment. It's a huge, huge topic, so let's dig right in. So first of all, what are some of the common causes of depression?
Well, there are two ways to think about depression, and common causes is actually it's kind of a highly debated field, but just to make it simple, we think of it as reactionary or biological. And reactionary we think of as in response to life events, not just to the big one, but to also the cumulative process of little ones over time.
Okay.
And then biological causes we think of as things like changes in your brain chemistry, your genetics, or any other health factors going on.
Right, right. This is really off topic, but can depression be caused by living with someone who is depressed?
I would say not caused by, but the stresses in your life can affect your moods and your behaviors, and all of those things can roll up into changes in, you know, your overall health.
Right. Because I would imagine if you came home to someone who was clinically depressed, after a while, that would become really depressing.
I always talk about emotions being contagious.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be that you have true major depression, but being around someone, it's really obvious with anxiety. When you're around someone who's anxious, your heart starts to flutter, you feel nervous, your palms start to sweat.
Right.
So any mood, anger, depression, they're all the same. They're contagious like that. So it's about learning how to have boundaries so that you separate those people's emotions from your own emotions.
Yeah. And so then I guess my next question would be, what's the difference between clinical depression and just, you know, like, well, I'm depressed today?
Well, it's a matter of time. How long has it been going on? And with all quote-unquote diagnoses, we really look at it as how much does it affect your functioning? How can you, are you able to do the things you want to do in your daily life? If you're unable to do those things, then we start to look at an actual diagnosis.
Got it. So you've covered some of these, but let's get into the official signs and symptoms of depression.
Sure. So when we think about major depression, the classic symptoms are feeling sad or blue, down or hopeless most of the time, and then having little interest or pleasure in doing the things that you may have used to find enjoyable. Those are our two main signs.
Okay.
And then other things are more biological, eating or sleeping too much or even too little, having difficulty concentrating, feeling slowed down where you feel like people often describe it feeling leaden. Or even the opposite, feeling agitated and restless.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of hard to get your arms around it, but so how is depression diagnosed, and are those specific tests used to help diagnose depression? Is there sort of a baseline for these tests, or are they different depending on the age of the person and the sex of the person?
Not really. It's all about the same. We think of the way that we diagnose it here in the clinic, I work in a family medicine clinic, and our gold standard for practice is to use a questionnaire. It's 10 questions long, and it's called the PHQ-9. Most doctor's offices use it. In fact, you'll probably see it on that intake form when you go to the doctor. So it basically just goes through those same symptoms I mentioned earlier and gives you a way to rate them. How severe are they, and how much do they impact you? And so it's a quick, easy way to put a number on how severe you feel so that we can get an idea of where you are and then be able to also give you those questions again later and see if the interventions that we've applied are making any difference with that number changing.
And, of course, you have to, you know, go along with the fact that most people will tell the truth to you and then some may not. And then you have to figure that out. And that's why you get the big bucks, I guess, huh?
Right. I think when people talk about their emotions, there's not really... I find that people don't really have a lot of motivation to hide anything. If anything, they try to hide how severe it is. They don't necessarily try to fake it. People, when they feel crummy, it's pretty bad.
I guess by the time they've made it into you, they're ready to talk about it. How is depression treated, and does it always require antidepressant medicines?
You know, the wonderful thing about major depression is that it's a huge thing, and it's caused by all these different factors in people's lives. But because of there's lots of ways to treat it, the most effective treatments that research shows are when a person is actively engaging in learning. So things where people are in individual therapy, going over their past or learning new ways to have relationships, couples counseling, family counseling, group therapy, or even in being involved in the community, volunteering or teaching others or working on expanding your spiritual life. Mm-hmm. So yes, medications can help, but really only when your symptoms are so severe that you can't engage in any of those activities do we suggest medications. So one the medication thing... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go please finish your thought. I'm sorry.
We think of medications as a way to get a toehold on those physical symptoms, the sleepiness, eating disorder, like the not eating enough or eating too much, being able to concentrate. The medications help with that.
Okay.
And so once you get a handle on those, then you can really do the work to learn how to have a healthier lifestyle.
I noticed, curiously, you didn't mention exercise.
Oh, well, that is a big error on my part because exercise is huge.
That's what I was thinking. You know, I mean, there's nothing like, even if I'm just feeling a little tired, I'm not saying depressed, but it's like, boy, you go for a run and you have a whole new mental outlook.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that I kind of roll that up into being involved in your own life, being active. Exercise has all the benefits of it. It throws in all kinds of extra endorphins and you feel a little bit better about your body. And it's hard because we suggest that, but people who are depressed feel really crummy about themselves and don't have any energy. So the idea of getting up and going for a walk is really, it's a big barrier.
Yeah.
So if you can, absolutely. Anything that you can add in will be helpful.
All right. Let's talk about within the family now. If you have a family and there's someone in it that you kind of think they might be clinically depressed rather than just sad, what should they do?
Well, if you think that someone in your family might be depressed, I would encourage you to directly talk to them. Guilt and shame are really common because the pain of depression isn't very easy to see. And so we often think that we should just be able to pull it together and get better and pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, as it were.
Right.
But it's a hard pain to see. You know, it's really easy to see someone's hurting when they're missing their hair because they're in chemo or they have a cast on. But depression is much sneakier.
Right.
So it's really important to talk openly with folks and ask them what's going on. How is this different for you than having a bad day? Or, you know, is it bigger? Is it longer? What's going on?
And, you know, I, as a friend of someone who was depressed and I didn't know it, you know, I'm guilty of saying, come on, just, you know, get out of your funk. Let's go for a bike ride. And, you know, I had no idea he was clinically depressed. And I feel terrible now about that. But at least I learned. And everybody can learn that it is. Are you calling it a disease?
Oh, that is such a big question. I struggle with that even professionally on a day-to-day basis. For some people, it really is because you can see how biological it is for them, that they are fighting against the chemistry, and when they take the medications, they get so much better so quickly.
Yeah.
But for other folks, it's really about a lifetime of, you know, having kind of not really good boundaries with friends and family and feeling taken advantage of and feeling having low self-esteem. And so it's a symptom of something else, and that's how it can be these completely different beasts for people.
Right.
So to put one blanket diagnosis on it is actually a disservice to people.
Okay. Let's take it even farther. If one has thoughts of death or suicide or of hurting themselves or others, then what do you recommend they do?
Again, it's all about talking to people. Suicide, and the most important thing for me when I talk to folks is that suicide is the one thing every person has thought of. It's the one thing that we have ultimate control over. And so everyone has thought about it. So just demystifying that you're not crazy, that you're not bad for thinking about it. But it is our job as family members and as professionals to keep people safe when they're in that dark time. And so you're not going to put a thought into someone's head if you ask them about hurting themselves. Excuse me. But to really ask them. And we think about the three things. We want to know, is there an intent to hurt themselves?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have a plan? Do they have the means to follow through on that plan?
Okay.
And so anywhere we can intervene, we'll make a difference in keeping those folks safe until they kind of pull back out of that dark place.
Thank you so much, Dr. Linderholm, for finding the time to talk to us today about the heartbreaking condition of depression and also for giving us some solid information on how families who are affected by it can get a handle on it. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure.
It's been a real pleasure to have you on the show, and I am Deborah Howell. Please join us again next time. We're going to be exploring another weekly dose of wellness, another topic that's meaningful to you or someone in your family or your friends. It's all brought to you by Memorial Care Health System. Have yourself a very, very fine day.